Hallelujah. So in Matthew 18, I just have a quick point I want to make, because see, when we begin to really understand what our Christianity is about, we begin to understand that we're no longer living for ourselves. We're no longer living all about self. Sometimes the way it gets evangelized is that it's all preaching about just what God is going to do for you, but if it doesn't include what God does in you, it's not a full picture. Let me just say, if your Christianity, your relationship with Christ is just about what God does for you and not what He's doing in you, you're missing something. You're missing the greatest part of the journey. You're missing the greatest part of the life that is available. Why? Because when He begins to have a place in you, you can now have a freedom from all the other things that were directing you. You can have a freedom from all the other things that were owning you. You know, sometimes we look at all the, remember last week I was talking about being free from me. Being free from me. But what I began to realize is that those other things that I was bowing down to that weren't Him actually owned a part of me. And so now I can begin to recognize that I don't have to stay in that place. I don't have to let something that's less than what God purchased for me own me anymore. I can come and be free of me. I can be free of my past. I can be free of those things that were never God in the first place. And not that all of my past was never God. I mean, surely there was something redeemable in that. I didn't get a whole lot of agreement there, but amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you. We appreciate it. But here, let me just so we'll set the table here with Mark, when he's talking, Matthew 19, where he's talking about the rich young ruler. And see, the rich young ruler comes and presents himself, and he speaks to the Lord and saying, the Lord asks him a simple question. Huh. He just basically doesn't even ask him a question. What he's doing is presenting, why are you asking me about what is good? There's only one who's good. But if you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments. And so he had the audacity to think that because he was living by a certain standard that he had in his thinking, to think that he was actually living by what the Lord was calling him to. And see, what was actually happening was the Lord was just presenting him with an opportunity to see that even though he said he was living by the commandments, he wasn't even living by the first one, which is to love your Lord your God. Because, see, the Lord Jesus simply asked one question. It's like, what about your money? Take all you have and give it away. Now, see, the problem was the rich young ruler was looking at that as a subtraction issue. Like something was going to be taken away from him that would cause him to be diminished and decreased. But see, that's not how the Father works. Remember, Jesus came so that he could demonstrate who the Father is. And the Father's heart towards everybody and everything was love. But first he had to cause him to recognize what was truly first in his heart. And you'll notice at this moment he walked away. Now there are some who say that this man who was the rich young ruler was also the same person who we later be introduced as Gaius, who actually funded a lot of the early gospel. So if that's the case, there was obviously a shift in his thinking at some point after this date. But his initial response was the same initial response we have when the Lord asks us to give something up. Okay. It's really quiet in this house. But I want to tell you something. The story, the moment, didn't stop when the rich young ruler walked away. Look what else Jesus adds to that. Verse 28, Truly, I say to you that you have followed, you who have followed me in the regeneration when the Son of Man will sit on his glorious throne, you will sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or children or farms for my name's sake shall what? Shall receive many times as much and inherit eternal life. Shall receive. When we begin to understand the Father's nature towards us is not to diminish us, but to multiply and increase us. So the things that happen are no longer about causing us to be diminished. When we begin to see His heart is to bring increase into our life. And sometimes that class means we have to begin to understand why we're holding in idolatry. Thank you for the one clap. Hallelujah. Exactly. I didn't ask for it, though. So let's go. Hallelujah. Let's go to John 6. What I begin to see is because of the flesh, we set up many false measurements in our life. We respond to false measurements. Because we're measuring things by what our ocular evidence presents to us. We're measuring things by what feels good. We're measuring the Father's love by our circumstance and our situation instead of measuring it by what He said. We become familiar with certain things and comfortable in certain things, but not recognizing that that wasn't actually where He intended for us to land and stay. Because He's caused us to come into a place of increase. It's His heart for us to be experiencing a continual increase, which means that for us to experience a continual increase, there must be a consistent breakthrough. And breakthrough only comes when we choose to make a new choice. When we choose to receive Him, to have a new action in our heart. And so that means in order for us to have new actions in our heart, then we must have a new belief system. Because we're going to do coming out of what we believe. What we do flows out of what we believe. If we believe a lie, if we believe the Father's not for me, then it's really going to be hard for me to have a relationship with Him. But if I understand He's for me in all things, now I can enter into a place of trust that allows me to begin to multiply. It's His desire to multiply you. It's His desire to bring you into a greater release of faith. See, faith is, like I've been preaching for several weeks now, faith is not just receiving an object or receiving a gift from the Lord. Faith is learning how to walk with Him day by day, moment by moment. Because that's the greatest faith that there is. The greatest faith that there is the faith that walks with you and that comes with you everywhere that you go. Because then you can be aware of His presence. And as you're aware of His presence, you're aware of the power and authority that comes from His presence. John 6, verse 60. See, He had been speaking here. He was speaking of that He was the bread of life. And they didn't understand. He was speaking as He was asking them to eat His flesh and drink His blood, and they really didn't understand. We can look at that and we can know that that was symbolizing a communion, that was symbolizing an abiding in Him, an abiding with Him, and we can see that and we know that, but from their perspective, it was a hard statement. From their perspective, they didn't understand. And here's what they said, verse 60, therefore many of His disciples, when they heard this, it's a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? Verse 66, and as a result of this, many of His disciples withdrew and were not walking with Him anymore. Pastor, let up. But see, when if our faith is all about us, if our journey with the Lord is all about us, there will come a time when it's too difficult because he asks or does something that's outside of what we're ready to let go of. When I look at my own journey, the times that I have grown the most is when I would basically just do anything that he called me to do. If he said, go speak to that, early on when I was only saved for a couple of weeks, and he said, I was in the line at Kentucky Fried Chicken, right? And the line was out the door, and we're standing in there, and he said, when I got up there, he said, tell the manager that I'm with her, that my presence is here for her today. She was obviously having a very bad day. Things were not going well. Orders were being messed up, and there was a lot of chaos and turmoil, plus a huge back line of people trying to get in. And I just stood in front of her and said, the Lord loves you. He's here for you. And in an instant, this whole demeanor changed, and a smile rose upon her face, and the whole atmosphere changed. It's not always that it's something that's difficult for you to do. But when you have never done it before, it certainly didn't feel comfortable to do. But in the same time, as soon as I did it, I could experience, everybody could experience the joy of the Father. Because why? I wasn't responsible for anything but just walking in obedience. That's all you're ever responsible to, is to rock in obedience to what he's sharing with you. When you do so, the change happens all by itself. The atmosphere shifted because he showed up. When we choose to no longer live just for self, but to live for him, it becomes a very free place. I know a man who's more free with finances than anybody I've ever discovered or felt or been around in my life, but because at one point in his journey, he made a decision he wasn't going to let finance rule him. And as a result, he is so free in that area. And as a result, he's so blessed and multiplied in that area. God continually multiplies him, and even when he can't see what was fixing to happen, God just brings increase. In remarkable ways, God brings increase. Why? Because he set that area aside and dedicated it to the Lord.
There's a couple things that one. 2 Corinthians 5 and 14. If you haven't been there, we went there last week. But if you haven't been there, it says that we are compelled by the love of God. We're compelled by the love of Christ. When it's the love of Christ now that's compelling me, when it's the love of Christ that is causing me to do what I do, now the result can come out of heaven's jurisdiction instead of out of just my own equipping. When it's coming out of heaven's jurisdiction, the result will be much different and much more significant than anything I could ever arrange. That's why it's not by might, not by power, but by his Spirit. In other words, it's not by my human ingenuity, it's not by my human authority, it's by what the Spirit can release. When I come into agreement with heaven, now heaven is released. The multiplication is instantaneous when heaven is released. What we're coming into is an agreement with heaven for its multiplication, or an agreement with heaven for its increase. So we were talking about being compelled by the love of Christ. We're talking about being compelled by the love of Christ. And in order to begin to be compelled by the love of Christ, we went to Hebrews 3 and 1, because out of Hebrews 3 and 1, then it speaks of beginning to come into alignment underneath the daily covering of Christ. See, because when we begin to consider Jesus, the apostle, and the high priest, there's something that happens as we consider Jesus. There's something that happens as we consider the one who is the apostle, as we consider the one who is the high priest. Because see, when we consider the one, what is an apostle in the first place? A sent one. A sent one. So let me just run through a few things. When I begin to consider the sent one, I have to consider what was it that he was sent for. If I just say he's my apostle, I miss the point. Because that doesn't have a life in me. Until I give it definition. Until I understand the relevance of what is the apostle to me. But let me just look here, because I began to look up the word sent to see what he was sent for. Let me give you some scriptures. Matthew 10 and 40, he was sent to represent. To represent the Father. He was sent to represent the Father. He was sent to represent all that the Father was. Hebrews 1 and 3 tells us that he's the radiance of the Father's glory, the exact representation of his nature, and he upholds all things by the power of the right hand. Waiting till the enemy be set as a footstool. If you are needing for the Son for the Son of Man, the Son of God, and the Son of Man to come into your life for the enemy to be made a footstool, recognize who he is as the one who is already overcome. He was sent, John 3:17, that the world might be saved. See, you can actually, if you just understanding why he was sent, you can preach the whole message of God. You can preach the basic message of God just out of these sent scriptures. He was sent that we might be saved. He was sent, John 3:34, to speak the words of God. Isn't it interesting that almost all the ones that recognize why he was sent come from the man who understood the love? John was the apostle of love. He was the apostle who recognized and represented love. He was the apostle who moved into a place of love where no one else did. Four and 34, he was sent to do the will of the Father. Actually, there's three or four verses that speak that same thing. 5:30 and 6:38, all in John, to do the will of the Father. When we're no longer living for ourselves. See, he's also, not only is he representing Father, he's also representing what it's like to walk with the Father. How we walk with the Father. As he was sent for us to shift our understanding of what it is to be with him. What it is to serve. What it is to come into alignment. 5:34, to do the works of the Father. And again, there's multiple scriptures for that. 5:37, to be a witness for Father. One of my personal favorites, and there's three scriptures in John 6:39, to raise up all that were given to him. Raise them up. When he comes and I begin to hold this place, the man who came to raise me up, the man who came to represent the Father, came to raise me up to be with the Father.
He didn't just leave me, find me in my discomfort. He didn't find me in my dysfunction just to leave me in it. He came to raise me up out of that and cause me to recognize who he is in me and cause me to recognize the victory he's already declared over me. He caused me to raise up and not stay in my place of whatever that was, the background might have been. Whatever conflict I might have had. When I'm raised up, I'm no longer looking to my own self-sufficiency. Now I can look to the Spirit of life to bring life. Because he's the life giver. When I raised up, I'm no longer left just in the abyss, but now I'm out of the abyss and I'm into a heavenly jurisdiction that he's called me to live in and to represent. And because as I represent the what he's given to me in the right hand, I'm representing what is the power and authority of the Father. It causes me to raise up, no longer meaning that I'm no longer having to look at my life based on where I am or what just happened today or what has happened. I'm not valuing or not judging his love based on my circumstance, but I'm looking to see what he's called me into. See, this is part of being a sent one. Part of being a sent one is now that, the other thing is he said, when he was sent, he came, why? To send you. And so if he's raising me up, then he calls me to come and raise you up. When I raise you up, now I'm doing what he has released me to do. Why? Because he gave me the example, and now I can just walk in the flow that he already established. When I choose to raise you up, I'm coming into an alignment with what kingdom destiny has already said for you. Got to raise them up, T. We raise them up. We raise them up. God has called us to be greater than the sum of our parts. The sum of our experiences. He's called us to raise up and be with him, to be seated in heavenly places, Ephesians 2, to be seated in heavenly places with Christ. Because as we're raised up and seated in heavenly places with Christ, now I can operate from a jurisdiction that is far greater than the earthly plane that we're given to walk on. My walking on the earthly plane is now not a result of anything other than just my fleshly body. How has a place to plant its authority? Why? Because the Spirit in me has been given an authority that needs to be released into this earth. Hallelujah. Five 5:30, seeking not his will, but the Father's. See, when we seek the will of the Father, Father can be released into our situation. When we seek in the will of the Father, we're no longer limited just by my own strength, my own imagination. But now I have something to release, something that's greater than me. Jesus, because he always was releasing the will of the Father, he was causing a reformation to come across his nation. A reformation moved out of him that changed time itself. It changed the way we measure everything. It changed the way we see. Because what he was doing was causing us to understand the love of the Father. He was causing us to see the love of the Father in a way that was not ever known before that moment. One of the very great blessings of your salvation as a Christian is the gift of the Father's love. And when that love is what compels us, it's what makes us different than everyone else.
Do you realize that in, let's see it this way, in Islam, there is no father. One of the characteristics of the father, there's 100 characteristics, over 100 characteristics. Not one of them is love. That means in Islam, everything that they do, they're doing out of works because there's no love to do it out of. But as Christians, sometimes we get locked into doing it, the works simply out of a way to try to earn our salvation, to earn our place with God. But when we do it out of love, we can do it out of a greater place than they could ever know. We can do it out of something that's a resource that's greater than ourselves and affect things in ways that we couldn't have imagined yet. But we do that by seeking His will. And so we see in 657 that He declares that He lives by the Father. In 716, He comes to release the Father's doctrine. In other words, they had an understanding of the teachings of God, but they didn't understand the way that it was supposed to be explained. So He gave them a greater clarity about who Father was. In 7:18 says He came so that we could seek. He was seeking the Father's glory. And because He was seeking the Father's glory, and He wants us to abide in Him, and as we abide in Him, there's a release of abiding in that power and authority as we abide in Him. Because He was seeking to release the Father's glory, the Father's glory is released because you came into His kingdom. As the Father is released, we see that there was a release of the Father. We see there was a release of the glory of God in the house and in the lives of those who were serving, those who sought Him and recognized Him. He came 7:29, John 7:29, so that we could know the Father. So that we could know the Father. Because before Jesus, there wasn't an actual representation of what Father looked like. There was the law that gave you a hint, but the actual representation, a flesh and blood representation, now was on the scene that changed everything. And He gave us an example so that we can choose to walk after that example. John 8:26 says to carry Father with Him. And 13:20 so that we could receive the Father. John 13:20. See, He was sent. All these are why Christ was sent. There's more than why Christ was sent. But He was sent so we could receive the Father, so we could release the Father, so that we could receive and come into an agreement and abiding with who He has declared us to be. That happens when we begin to see and be compelled by the love of Christ. Let me just reveal something that I spoke about Wednesday night. Go to Mark 1 with me. In Mark 1, see, what I recognize is that a lot of times in our dysfunction, we're exalting things that aren't really God. We're in our dysfunction. We're recognizing things and making a journey for things to try to create our own comfort zone, our own place of safety, a safety that can never actually measure up. And I gave the example of a married couple, and because of her need for safety, everything that she did was creating control. And as she the more she operated in control, the more it pushed the one she was trying to get her safety from away. See, when we operate in control, then there's a response to that. And in this situation, it caused him to move further away. And so she would, because he was moving farther away, she would try to operate in more control to get him back into the place so that she could feel safe. All this was happening. Why? Because ultimately, her safety wasn't coming from the Father. Her safety was coming from what she could do. When our safety only comes from the place where we could do, when our safety only comes from the things that we can control, we're missing the point. See, I get to live that this week in several different situations. It's been a little bit of a challenging week, but I have to come back and recognize that the love of the Father is not determined by my circumstance. The love of the Father is not determined by the things that I've associated or the things that I'm described around my life that make me comfortable. Not when it's, unless it's attached to Him. If it's attached to Him, that's a different thing. But if it's something I just do just for my own comfort, just because I'm trying to create my own environment, then there's something that ultimately does not provide that safety that you kind of expect. See, we make idols out of all kinds of things. And that's one of the things that he began dealing with me about. We make idols out of lots of things. But not, it doesn't mean that, you know, we're bowing down to some thing. You know, we're not bowing down to some little statue over here in the corner. But we make idols out of things that in our lives, situations in our lives. We sometimes put more significance in our phone than we do in God. In other words, you know that panic feeling when your phone's missing or you're away from it, it's out of your reach. That panic feeling that rises up because you don't know where your phone is. See, we can once we understand our phone is missing, we're going to find it. We're going to search for it. But see, the problem is that we can go without God for a whole day and not miss Him. And He's wanting me to move into a relationship with Him that's not just confined to my quiet time. It's not just confined to my morning time. It's not confined by anything but just a living relationship that goes on all day so that He's as important or more important than my phone. Because my reliance shouldn't be on my native intelligence. My reliance shouldn't be on those things that I can do. My reliance should be on the One who loves me. The One who dedicated Himself to me. The least I can do is dedicate myself to Him. Because why? He declared me to be a sent one. He was sent so I could. So now I need to be sent so I do. Sometimes our pride gets involved. You know, we can be prideful about a lot of things. And so you'll notice that I have a makeover this morning. Thank you, Jesus. I have a makeover because I had an accident yesterday. I was using a big long drill bit up in the ceiling, and I tried to get a little peek as to where it was drilling to. And I got my hair caught in the drill bit, and it pulled it all out. So I've got a chunk that's about like that by that missing. And some very tender skin at the moment. Thank you, sweetie. But my point is, see, my pride, see, I had a little pride thing coming up in there about, you know, just having your hair just right. I got to have my look just right. I got to have all those things just right. And you know what? Ain't none of that the point. None of that is the point. Now, I did call Tammy and say, Tammy, help me. Do what you can do with this mess. And she, when I showed up there, I was hoping she had something encouraging to say. She said, what do you expect me to do with that? That wasn't what I wanted to hear. I said, Tammy, I came to you because you can do something with this. Otherwise, I'm going to just look like Justin. I'm going to cut it all off. See, when we put our faith in something that's not God, when we put something before Him, those are the things that He wants to surrender, not because He wants to take something away from us, but because He wants to add something to us. What He wants to add to us is a confidence that comes from Him and Him alone, a confidence that comes from who He is, a confidence that comes because He's rising up within us, because He was a sent one, and He's calling us to be like Him, a sent one. And when we're a sent one, now we're going to walk in an authority that is not coming out of our own strength, Kevin. It's not coming out of our own ability. It's coming out of the Lord's and the Spirit's ability. Because the kingdom is now can come into operation. It comes, why? Because we're compelled by love. 2 Corinthians 5:14. See, I called you to go to Mark 1. You see, in Mark 1 we see that as he was going by the Sea of Galilee, verse 16, he saw Simon and Andrew, the brother of Simon, casting a net in the sea, for they were fishermen. He said, follow me and I'll make you become fishers of men. And they immediately left the nets and followed him. He did the same way James and John. And they left the nets and followed him. You know, there was something interesting here because he called them out of the fullness of their success, but yet they recognized there was something else they needed. They recognized a love that compelled them to do something that would not be a natural response. Because I can tell you, when I owned my own company and the Lord was calling me into the ministry, I could feel the call, but I was like, Lord, how do I even do that? How do I leave what I know to do something I don't even know what is yet? But they felt a love that compelled them. A love, and I'm not saying quit your job. I'm saying let the love of God compel you to step into a relationship with Him that's beyond yourself. When we step into a relationship that's beyond ourselves, the very thing that we need is now available to us. Because we see here where they went. Verse 21, they went into Capernaum. Now, Capernaum was where most of the miracles that Christ did happened. But that word Capernaum actually should be pronounced Capernaum. In other words, village of comfort. Capernaum. Village of comfort. In other words, there's a reality. There's no longer where they're looking and being fulfilled by a false comfort. They were being fulfilled now by the true comfort. The comfort that comes from walking with Him. The comfort that comes from being alongside the one who is the way maker. The one who is the journeyman. The one who comes and is the conqueror. When we walk with Him, there's a comfort that comes that will not come any other way. There's a confidence that comes that doesn't come any other way. I am hoping that this challenges you today. I'm hoping it causes you to realize our salvation wasn't just about me and my four. My salvation is about the whole kingdom of God. My salvation is about what the will of the Father is. And when I begin to see it, that sets me free from me. We need to be free from me. I want to be free from me. We said it last week. I think it's a good thing to say again. I want to be free of me. I want to be free of me. Lord Jesus, I choose to be free of me because, Lord, you said it in front of me. Yes. Hallelujah. When we're free of ourselves, we're free of the dysfunction that we have been riding on. We're free of the past that might have tried to label us. You know, it's so easy to label yourself, and it's so easy for us to label one another. How do we describe Thomas in the Bible? By one act, doubting. Now, the man was eventually sacrificed, okay? I don't think he was doubting anymore. Why don't we recognize that? No, we recognize the one moment of dysfunction in his life, and we labeled him for life. I'm here to tell you, the labels that you may have acquired over your life don't have to define you anymore, because now our life can be defined by him. God bless you. We love you. Hallelujah.